Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of the Trinity Psalter hymnal, to page 895 in the back section, as this morning we read together from Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 51. That's at the bottom of the second column. Just the one question and answer. I'll read the question. We'll respond together with the answer. From page 895, question 126. What does the fifth petition mean? Well, we are continuing our study of that prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, a prayer that we pray often, perhaps, but a prayer that I've suggested is not necessarily an easy prayer to pray when we understand the obligation that it places upon us. We are looking at that second set of petitions, that second set dealing with the most basic needs of our life. Last time, we talked about our physical needs. Give us this day our daily bread. And this morning, we look at our most basic spiritual need, the forgiveness of our sins. I must say, I love preaching every Lord's Day, but preaching about the glorious work of God in forgiving all of our sins. I have been looking forward to this petition of the Lord's Prayer as we talk about what God has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Although, like all the others, we will also see how this calls forth a particular response from us. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. The prayer, forgive us, acknowledges the reality of sin. And I guess that's where we have to begin. Because the world will tend to ignore that reality. The world does not want to talk about sin, because sin presupposes an absolute standard of right and wrong. Sin presupposes that there is a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And that is anathema to the ways of the world, which would say, you find your own way. You find your own truth. I'm going to speak my truth to you. How many often you hear that on the news? Or I'm going to speak my truth. As if truth is up for grabs. No, there is a standard that God has given to us of right and wrong. And to acknowledge sin speaks of that standard. The world wants to ignore sin or wants to redefine sin in a way that makes it seem more palatable. The world will not talk about disobedient children to their parents, but rather speaks about children who are simply expressing their freedoms. The world won't talk about lying, but talks about that we may have misrepresented the facts. They redefine sin. The world will not talk about the murder of unborn children, but rather calls it pro-choice. Who wouldn't want to be pro-choice? The world will not speak of homosexuality as an abomination before the Lord, but talks about committed, monogamous, same-sex relationships. The world will ignore sin. It will redefine sin. And this prayer once again brings us back to the reality of sin. There is a standard of right and wrong. There is such a thing as sin, and we have committed it. Jesus' words, if you forgive others their trespasses, he describes sin as a trespass. Children, you know what a trespass is? Maybe sometime you've gone out for a drive with your folks, and then you see a house, and the house is kind of broken down, and in front of that house, there's a sign that says, no trespassing. No trespassing. To trespass is to go someplace we shouldn't go. That's what trespass is, to go someplace we shouldn't go. And if you would be going past that no trespassing sign into that broken down house, it would be dangerous for you. So the no trespassing sign keeps you out, and it's good for you. And so it's a very fitting word for Jesus to use to describe our sin. It is to trespass. The law of God is like a boundary for us. And as long as we don't go past that boundary, don't go where we should not go, we will be safe. But it's when we go past the boundary, when we trespass, that we put ourselves in danger. Jesus describes our sin as trespasses. He describes our sin in verse 12 as debts. Forgive us our debts. As a picture that there is something that we owe to God. We're asking God to forgive a debt. There is something we owe to God. What is it that we owe to God? We owe to God perfect righteousness, obedience, and holiness. This is what we owe to God. But we do not give that to God. We don't do what he has asked us to do, and we are in debt to him. It's a debt that is so deep and so profound, a debt that we cannot get out of, a debt that is too big for us to pay. And so we pray to God, we can't pay this debt. God, please forgive this debt that we have to you. The prayer speaks about the reality of our sin. It reminds us of the nature of our sin, that we are fallen and sinful. In our theology, we call that total depravity. That every part of me is stained with sin. The prayer reminds us to view our sin properly. Is it the case that we are called sinners because we sin, or is it the case that we sin because we are sinners? Now, that's not just a play on words. Are we called sinners because we sin, or do we sin because we are sinners? If we say the first, that we are called sinners because we sin, we tend to view sin as individual acts, individual things that we do that trespass the boundary. But our sin is much more than that, than a few things that we do. It is a fallen, sinful nature that we have. No, we sin because we are fallen and sinners. Therefore, we pray the prayer. Forgive us our debts. Remove our trespasses. Take away our sins. We recognize the fallenness that we have in our human nature. Now, some have suggested that this is a fine prayer for those who are unbelievers, but believers know God, believers know Jesus Christ, believers have had their sins forgiven. Why do we still pray this prayer? If Jesus really does forgive all our sins, why do we have to keep praying this? And here our confession is helpful to us. When it says, what does the fifth petition mean? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors means, because of Christ's blood, do not impute to us, poor sinners that we are, not that we were, poor sinners that we are, any of the transgressions that we do, not that we did, or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us for those things we do, for the evil that constantly clings to us. It recognizes, yes, we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, but we still live in a fallen world, and we still commit sins against God, and we still stand in need of His forgiveness. It recognizes the reality of our sin. This is the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive us our debts. And it reminds us, not only of the reality of our sin, but it reminds us of the fullness of God's salvation, the fullness of what He does for us. Forgive us the debt. Praying this prayer does not ask God to ignore the debt. It recognizes we have a debt that we owe to God, but a debt, since we cannot pay it, that someone else will pay on our behalf. God does not ignore our sins. God does not dismiss our sins. But God requires that His justice be satisfied, as our confession will say elsewhere, that His justice be satisfied either by ourselves or someone else. And we have already said we cannot pay the debt. It is a debt too great for us. No, our debt has been paid, not ignored, not dismissed. Our debt has been paid in full by the work of another. Our debt has been satisfied by the work of Jesus Christ, by the perfection of what He did. All of our sins laid upon Him, not ignored by God, but placed upon Jesus Christ. And He took the weight of that sin, and He brought it all the way to the cross, where He would give up His life that our sins might be forgiven by God. The shame of our sin, the guilt of our sin, all of it taken away by Christ. The fullness, the completeness of what God does for us in His Son. He takes away the sins of our thoughts. He takes away the sins of our hearts, the sins of greed, the sins of lust, the sins of anger, perhaps those sins known only to God are taken away by the work of Jesus Christ. He takes away the sins of our words, those words that we have spoken, which we should not have, those words spoken harshly to our husband, to our wife, to our children, to our parents. God takes away the sin of harsh words, words spoken in anger, words spoken in frustration. He removes the sins of our spoken words. Those things that we have said, He removes the sin of those things we have not said. Those times when we should have spoken, but we did not. Those times when perhaps we sensed an opportunity with a family member or friend or coworker that perhaps they would be open to talking about the things of God, and rather than opening our lips, we have remained silent. God forgives those missed opportunities for the sharing of the gospel. He forgives the sins of our thoughts. He forgives the sins of our words. He forgives the sins of our actual actions, those deliberate choices that we make to go against the will of God. Those deliberate choices when we know what is right and we choose to reject the path of righteousness and walk in the way of sin. Even those secret actions, those secret deeds that we hide from everyone else, God forgives those as well. All because of what Christ has done. All because of that work accomplished on the cross by His precious blood. Again, from our confession, that God not hold our sins against us. Because of Christ's blood, do not impute to us, poor sinners that we are, our sins. Because of Christ's blood, that was the price of our forgiveness. That's why we can pray this prayer, because Christ went to the cross and shed His blood that we could take these words on our lips, forgive us our debts. And that glorious work of Christ, the reality of the forgiveness of sins, is still for everyone today who embraces Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you have been ignoring your sin, if you have been renaming your sin, if you have been excusing your sin, then God calls you this morning to recognize the reality, but also to recognize the glory of the gospel. To embrace Jesus Christ, to know Him as your Lord, as your Savior, as the one who shed His blood for you, and to know the joy and the assurance of the forgiveness of all of our sins, sins of our thoughts, sins of our words, sins of our deeds, completely removed because of Jesus Christ. Embrace Him, know Him as your Lord, as your Savior. On this beautiful Lord's Day morning, and this the truth of this passage, live in your life. Jesus teaches us, pray this way, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. This petition of the Lord's Prayer sometimes can seem a bit confusing. It makes it sound like God's forgiveness of us is conditioned upon our forgiveness of others. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. It is the only petition of the prayer that here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, Jesus explains. He goes on in verse 14, after teaching, pray this way, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. What is Jesus teaching here? Is it the case that our forgiveness from God is conditioned upon our forgiveness of others? Well, I can assure you that is not what Jesus is teaching. The best way to understand a text like this is not to just guess what it might mean, but to look elsewhere in Scripture, to see how Scripture itself gives a commentary, instruction upon Jesus' words here. And I would suggest the best commentary on this particular text on forgiving others and being forgiven is what Jesus will teach later in Matthew 18. I'd encourage you later this afternoon to take a look at Matthew 18. It's the story, children, of the unmerciful servant. Maybe you remember that story. A man who owed somebody else a lot of money. He owed somebody else a lot of money. He went and said, I can't pay, and the guy forgave him the debt. The guy forgave all the debt. And then somebody else owed that man a little bit. And that man said, I'm going to throw you in jail. I want to have all my money back. And it was only a little bit of money. And Jesus in Matthew 18, as he tells that parable, says this. Then his master, the master of that man who was unforgiving, summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? Because he had received mercy, he should now have been ready to show mercy. But the fact that he did not demonstrated he didn't understand the true nature of forgiveness. Our forgiveness is not the ground of God's forgiveness of us. But our forgiveness of others is evidence that we understand God's forgiveness of us. We forgive others because we have been forgiven. The huge debt we could not pay was paid by another, was paid by Christ. And yet how often we hold small, petty debts against one another. Again, from our confession. Forgive us just as we are fully determined as evidence of your grace in us wholeheartedly to forgive our neighbors. Forgive us as we desire to forgive others as evidence that we understand what you have done for us. A reflection of God's forgiveness. And our forgiveness of others needs to be modeled on God's forgiveness. God forgives us totally and completely and holds nothing against us. And yet how often we want to hold a grudge against a brother or sister in Christ. We want to hold something against them. God forgives us willingly whenever we ask, whenever we come before him, God, forgive me for what I have done. And he is so ready to forgive. And yet how often when someone comes to us, we say, no, I'm not going to forgive you this time. You've gone too far. God forgives us for any and all offenses, big offenses, small offenses, all things we have done. And yet sometimes we say, no, I can't forgive you for that. That's just too big. And God, when he forgives us, consciously, the Bible describes it this way, he forgets our sins. Described in beautiful pictures, like God casting our sins behind him. I see your sins no more. God casting our sins in the depth of the sea. I remember not your sins. And he holds nothing against us for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's to be the character, the nature of our forgiveness of others. that we never bring the matter up again to them or to anyone else, and even as God gives us grace in our own minds. And we say, how is that possible? Because some sins are hard, they hurt us. It is possible because the Spirit works within those who belong to Jesus Christ. It is evidence that we have been forgiven when we are able to forgive. Oh, it's a beautiful prayer. We love praying the first half of this petition. Forgive us our debts, all of our sins, all of our iniquities. Remove all of our shame. The challenge for us is to pray the second half of the petition. As we also have forgiven our debtors. If we are those who know the forgiveness of God, we must be ready and willing to forgive one another. Who are we to hold anything against a brother or sister when God, for the sake of Christ, holds nothing against us? As I said, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer we pray often, sometimes even without thinking, but understanding what Jesus has taught us, it's a difficult prayer to pray. But when we pray this, we know God is at work within us, helping us to begin to walk on that path of obedience, recognizing what He has done. Oh, may God help us to pray all of this petition. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we with joy remember the forgiveness of our sins, that You have totally and completely washed us, cleansed us in Jesus Christ, all the sins gone, the guilt, the shame taken away. And yet, Lord God, how often we are unforgiving toward others. Forgive us for that, O God. Move our hearts because of what Jesus Christ has done to be willing and ready and anxious to forgive one another, holding nothing against each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, Lord God, of ourselves, it is impossible. So work in us by the power of Your Spirit that we may honor You, that we may honor Your Word, that we may pray this prayer with joy. Hear us, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.